Welcome back, everybody, to the CNC Cardi and Clutch Sports Show. We on episode number 11. It took us a couple of weeks, but hey, we back. I am your favorite, or one of your favorite co-hosts, Stacey Cardi.
I'm the co-host, Natasha Claire.
Yeah, that's all you got? You ain't got a bigger intro? We've been gone for 2 weeks.
Y'all know who I am, B. Y'all know why.
She's with the New York. You know who I am, B. All right, I see you. We've been going on updates. Packers looking good. Rams are not. At least we in that wild card spot, though.
Yeah, that's the most important part, because you know the NFC is stacked at the top there, you know? Even my Packers ain't really safe, so we won't talk about that big loss, that big letdown I had against the 49ers, but that's beside the point, you know? That's beside the point.
They let me down. I was waiting for them to beat the 49ers. I told you I was the second biggest Packers fan that day. And what happened?
Well, apparently, really quickly, I'll give you a 30-second synopsis about what happened that day. Well, first of all, when we travel west, we don't do well. That was evident in the game when we played against the Chargers about 2 or 3 weeks earlier, and then we played the 49ers. 49ers came out stomping us immediately. Held us to, we had a fumble in the very first drive, which was basically gift wrapped to the 49ers. And then from that point on, you know, it was really hard for us to score. That defensive line is not a joke, okay? Let me tell you that. That defensive line is not a joke. That's really where it started. And that's where it ended too. That is what it is. We'll definitely see them again along the line in our playoff push. So,
hey, look, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah, we're still on. So we'll keep it pushing. Close out the last four games of the season. We have the Redskins, we have the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears. So that's a bunch of divisional games, and we need those wins. That's the Packers front.
Oh, yeah. Our last couple of our games, divisional, too, I think we played the Seahawks again and the 49ers. So, we definitely owe them a whooping. We owe them a little stomping. You got to get that.
That's a tough schedule you guys have ahead. Playing the Seahawks, you see how popping the Seahawks are, right? And obviously, the 49ers are the 49ers.
Yeah, both of them are 10-2.
We have a couple of teams that are 10-2. We also have the Saints that are 10-2 as well. I think the Ravens are 10-2, and the Patriots are 10-2 as well. So we have about five teams in the NFL between both conferences that are 10-2. Pretty damn good records.
Yeah, pretty good. So, you know, we've been gone for 2 weeks. Like I said, we missed a lot of stuff, but then, you know, a lot of stories just came out recently that caught our attention. The first story that we're gonna talk about is very, very new, and it's still developing. It involved the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets filed a protest regarding James Harden, his dunk attempt. It went through the hoop, but it didn't fall out of the net. So the referees didn't count it. And the Rockets were visibly upset about that, especially because they lost to the San Antonio Spurs 135-133. So what they want to accomplish out of this is for the game to be played where it at 7 minutes and 50 seconds where the dunk attempt happened. They want to replay those minutes. And it's interesting to know that they actually, if that dunk would have counted, it would have put them up 104-89, which I found very interesting. So, like, even if it didn't count, they was up by a lot. And in my estimation, you know, okay, you missed 2 points, but what happened with y'all surrendering amount of points? Y'all gave up 135 in total. Then y'all lost the game. So, like, it's more than those two missed points in my estimation. But I'm going to save a little bit more of my argument a little later. How you feel about the Rockets filing protests? Do they have a case? Should they even be going through this, or –
I feel like they're doing a process to make it more aware to the league, make it aware of how much an issue it is. to piggyback on what you just mentioned, for the Rockets to be up significantly on the Spurs and then let it come down to these 2 points after the fact, what are we really here for? So now you're just mad because the game went, I think it went into overtime. So just because the game went into overtime, we lost by 2. So now you want to piggyback on those two points. That's like barely, you know, that's like missing an extra point, 2 extra points earlier in the game. But now you want to come back because now you think that you could challenge it. Nah, that's not how it works. I think the Rockets should be ashamed in the first place for even bringing it that close with the Spurs, since it's supposed to be one of the perennial teams in the West. So that's my take on it. I said what I said.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was like, okay, I can see. I mean, they lost by 2 points. So, like, if that would count it, the game would went into another extra period. So I can see it from that point. But you were up 102-89 with 7 minutes and 50 seconds left.
At that point, right? At that point of the bucket, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So now we want to dispute it because the game came down to those last 2 points. You guys were already up 102-89 or whatever the case may be. Why are we not talking about this now? To make a point, or because y'all lost by 2 points? Like, what is the real motive here? What's the end game? What is the end game for the Rockets? That's the question at hand.
I don't even know if this will be a whole momentum swing. I mean, like, again, like, what happened that last 7 minutes and 50 seconds where you surrendered a double-digit lead and you end up losing the game by 2 points?
Exactly. That's the real question at hand. That's when we really need to ask D'Antoni in the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, the organization need to protest that defense.
Well,
and figure out why we surrendering these amount of points here. We not closing the game out.
Hold on. You say we, like, you a part of that team. That's who you representing?
No, not. You know what I mean.
I just want to make sure. But, you know, Mike D'Antoni's teams are notorious for not defending the ball, playing defense at all anyway. So,
yeah.
There's that on that.
Yeah. Oh, well, Rockets do what y'all feel is right, I guess. I don't know if y'all gonna actually get what y'all asking for here. Who gonna waste time to play 8 more minutes of basketball? And then it'll be funny if they get that redo and they still lose.
Right. And like, y'all was out here wasting our time. Y'all out here wasting our time. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, how you gonna sell those tickets? All right. But let's move on here. We got some unfortunate news coming out the NFL. Longtime head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Ron Rivera, was fired this week. The Panthers, right now, they're 5-7. They're third in the NFC South. Now, they got the same record as the Buccaneers, but I guess some sort of tiebreaker, whatever, placed in third. And then they also have lost 4 straight. You know, the Panthers, they are going through a whole bunch of changes. You know, Cam Newton hasn't been there. They started Kyle Allen at quarterback. He was doing good, but that's, you know, he faltered. And then they about to start your boy, Will Greer. I was hearing about that.
Shout out to the Mountaineers. Like, can we talk about it one time? I haven't heard his name been mentioned all year. Oh, we've been talking about some Kyle Allen.
I personally like Will Greer. I think he'll be all right.
I don't want to be biased here, but
no. But but the question is, first of all, was this the right move by the Carolina Panthers to fire Ron Rivera?
No.
No?
I say no. Well, don't get me wrong. The loss that they just had to the Redskins was pretty tough. That was ugly. You know, just about as ugly as the Eagles was into the Miami Dolphins. That was a pretty ugly loss. But you gotta look at Ron Rivera's credit, you gotta think about who he has been for the Carolina Panthers, okay? If I'm not mistaken, he became the head coach of the Carolina Panthers in 2011. And I know that he got the Superman MVP of Cam Newton, right? 2015, right? He had a 15-1 season, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines, you know, up and down, up and down. However, this past year, like the last two years, Cam Newton has been injured. So he looked at starting quarterback to face the franchise. So you're gonna put that on Ron Rivera? Number one. Number two, you know what? But I think, as we know, the team was taken over by a new owner, and the new owner simply wanted to have his own, right? He wanted to start over. We know that they're possibly, or more than likely, moving on with Cam Newton this year, after this year is over. And so they want to start all, the owner will start this. I don't think Ron Rivera should have been let go, but from what I was told, or what I heard, across sports lines, is that the owner, you know, didn't want to go behind Ron Rivera's back looking for, you know, he wanted to shut it down now and find a new coach.
Yeah, in my opinion here, I think this was the right move, but I didn't like them firing him, you know, 12 games. I think they should have let him ride out the last four games of the season, let him go out, you know, with some sort of peace, not fire him like that. Just, you know, they should have let him know, hey, we're going to move on without you after the season concludes, and, you know, we're going to take our steps from there. Because I think he deserved that much. But the reason why I say this was a...
But I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's like, why wait? Why we gonna wait? If y'all know y'all gonna do this, if we know we're gonna do this as an organization, as an owner and organization, why I'm gonna wait? Get rid of him now.
I mean, sometimes that won't sit well with a team. Like, you just, you know, let the guy go, and he only has a few more games left, and he's tight with a lot of those players, especially Cam Newton. So, like, you don't want to cause, like, some sort of backlash from the players onto, you know, the ownership and all that stuff. So, like, I mean, just let him ride out the season. You never know what's going to happen. They could have went on a four-game winning streak. You never know.
I'm not really sure what the rest of their schedule looks like. I know the Saints are the concept of division. They have the Bucks probably, or Falcons, whoever else is in that division. They could have, but at the same time, like, it's the owner's team. You know what I mean? He's going to do what he feels about the team. I only think he's a damn about the end of the players.
Yeah, but but it's still the right move, though. Like, sometimes things just, you know, max out. You just max out. All good things come to an end, and it was Ron Rivera's times. A lot of changes going on. I was going to bring this up next. They probably going to move on from Cam Newton, who's Ron Rivera's guy, and they got to make a whole bunch of changes. And, you know, he's just not as effective as he used to be. I mean, like I just said, they lost four straight games. So at some point, they were 5-3. They were in prime position to compete for the NFC South, and it just went south very quickly. So, you know,
yeah.
I think, you know, change is welcome. Next topic. Let's stick with the NFC South here. The Buccaneers could be going through some changes as well. Head coach Bruce Arians said that he's not sure that Jameis Winston will return next season. Not so sure about that. Jameis Winston been longtime starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And obviously, to everybody, it has not gone well. He's been up and down, very inconsistent. One game, he give you four touchdowns, 375 yards. Next game, same amount of yards, two touchdowns, four interceptions, three interceptions here, three touchdowns, two interceptions. There's just been a lot of erratic play, a lot of up and down. Very, very weird experience having Jameis Winston as starting quarterback. So here's the question here. Should the Bucs move on from Jameis Winston?
Well, first of all, Bruce Arians, when he was in his press conference on Sunday or over the weekend, he said that he didn't necessarily say that he was backing him or denying him. He just said that he wanted to pass on that conversation, which alludes to the discussion of, will Jameis Winston still be the quarterback? And that's because, I guess, you know, previously, Bruce Arians has always backed him. You know, that's my guy, that's this, always supported him. This time he didn't. Now, unfortunately for Jameis Winston, this is his final year of the contract. his rookie contract. I feel like, I feel like Jameis Winston's been in the league for dumb long. But he's, he's been in the league since 2015. And that is all we've heard. Up and down, up and down. I saw a stat today that said that he had, since 2015, so since he's been he entered the league, right? He has 101 interceptions.
Mm.
That's mean. You in three digits with the interceptions. That is not a stat that you want, honey. And right after him is like Phillip Rivers, like 82 or something like that. So you can, for Phillip Rivers, you can kind of justify it, I guess, a little bit. But Jameis Winston, you can't. I definitely expected so much from Jameis Winston. And, you know, since he came into the league out of Florida State, granted, he had his troubles, you know, with crabs, stealing crabs and Uber drivers and stuff like that. But outside of all that noise, you know, I had high hopes. To answer your question, should they move on from Jameis Winston? Yeah, you might want to move on.
Mm.
You might want to move on. Just see what else is out there. And I mean, and when I say move on, yes, you could possibly move on and not extend his contract. Or you could just making him your backup. I don't know what the possible options the Buccaneers will go about and do, but those are what I'm thinking about. What you think?
Mm. I had high hopes for Jameis Winston, too. I love his attitude. You know, he could be childish at times. I love his attitude. He seemed like he has fun playing football from my standpoint. But, you know, the unfortunate part about Jameis Winston NFL is he hasn't changed from college. Remember, college, that was his issues, too. He had a lot of turnovers at Florida State. And it seemed like Jameis Winston has never really took off to that next level. He was just on the borderline of being great or like very good, however you see it. And right. It hasn't produced anything for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, for what it's worth, they had talented teams during Jameis Winston's time. They had talented teams. They had players at positions that could do stuff. He has Mike Evans at wide receivers. He's one of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL. They had star names on defense and everything. It just hadn't worked out. And should they move on from, they should. Or they should at least draft a quarterback high, you know, in the 2020 draft. It's time for another plan. You gotta break the band up, so to speak. And that starts with Jameis Winston. Like, he has the on talent and everything, but he's just too inconsistent for me. Like, I can't
He has all that arm talent and thrown it to the wrong damn people.
right. I can't have games where I got to wonder whether you're going to throw either three touchdowns and no interceptions or three touchdowns and three interceptions. Like, I can't have that. I got to be at peace of mind knowing my quarterback is going to be solid. And Jameis Winston, he been hot and cold night and day. So, and this year, I think his stats this year, I think it's 22 touchdowns and 20 interceptions.
Like, that's like even out. There's no, you can't be evening out when it comes to that damn stat.
And I thought he was going to, you know, take off after he killed my Los Angeles Rams after they put up 55 against us. I thought that was,
I guess that was an anomaly because you see his track record. So where do you see him going?
That's a good question. A lot of teams have like established futures at quarterback right now, like a lot of them. One team that's not as clear as everybody else's is the Miami Dolphins. They can use a talent like Jameis Winston, try to pair him with Devontae Parker. That way he have another talented wide receiver. You know, I don't know what they're doing with Josh Rosen. I don't know what they're doing with him. So you need somebody in there immediately that can at least alleviate you one season of headaches. Another team... ironically, the Los Angeles Chargers. They can use somebody a little bit younger. You know, Phillip Rivers getting up there in age. He might step away from the game soon. You know, Jameis Winston, he's still, you know, in his prime years. So they can use his talents. Other than that, like, almost everybody else around the league pretty solid at quarterback. You could say the Denver Broncos, but I want them to give Drew Lock a chance. So those are the top two teams that I got in mind right now.
I mean, you got to take into consideration how many quarterbacks are about to come out to the 2020. So it's like if he don't hitch on to a wagon right now, he about to get a lift, right? I don't think that the Chargers would like to move on from Phillip Rivers if he decides to step away and then absorb Jameis Winston, because it's like you still gonna get bad turnovers and interceptions. So it's like we leaving one and get the number one. Like I don't know about that. The Dolphins, yeah, they do have Josh Rosen down there, and I think Fitzy is on a one year deal. So I guess Fitzy's not really a factor in this equation, but possibly. But you're right; like a lot of the teams are pretty much solidified on their coaches. I mean, on their quarterbacks, and then on their backup quarterback. So I don't know. Hopefully, there's a fit for Jameis Winston somewhere. And it's like you would think, like every year you come out with Jameis Winston, you're like, oh well, I hope he does well this year. I hope he does well. But again, it's been back and forth, up and down with him. So I wish him luck on whatever his next step is.
Yeah.
I wonder what his agent is telling him. That's not, or what his agent's advice is, because that's a situational right there.
Yeah, and then, like you said, he's due to be a free agent. So, like, you know, he's going to want a certain amount of money, but is they going to give him, given his turnover troubles, is he going to get that? So
right, and he has – well, he'll definitely be eligible for a minimum, obviously the minimum, whatever, the minimum of the quarterback market, but he's not – I hope he don't think he in line to get some big money. Let's make sure we put that out there now. No, Jameis. Don't come around looking for no big money. that's facts. That's facts.
Yeah, you get half the bag. You can't get the whole bag. You gotta get half of it.
No.
Yeah, but no. We'll see where he has four games to right the ship. So if he plays well in four games, maybe that can change people's minds. But speaking of quarterbacks, your boy.
Apple?
Yeah, your boy out there in New York, Mr. Eli Manning.
Yes!
Yeah. Yes! He's back in the starting fold. He will be starting Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. Daniel Jones, he has an ankle sprain, so he'll be sitting out. So, expectations for Eli. I would like for them to sit Daniel Jones for the rest of the season. There's four games left. The Giants are not going to the playoffs. Save your future quarterback. Don't risk another injury for him. They believe in Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, he cool. He like a little mini Eli.
Any dimes.
he's a mini Eli to me, but you know, Eli Manning, go ahead and let him go out in style, I guess, as a starting quarterback for the New York Giants. I don't know what he's gonna do. I don't know like the future prospects for Eli, but for right now, I think they should just let Eli start for the rest of the season. Just go ahead and do it. And I read a fact that it's been like a full year since Eli won a football game. That's crazy. Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, well, you know what? In my opinion, first of all, I got to watch Danny Dimes this past Sunday in the snow as the Giants took on my Green Bay Packers. We won. At first, it was too close for comfort. And Giants fans were outnumbered 4-1. My Packers fans, by the way, just putting it out there. But nonetheless, I am happy that Eli's going to start. I agree with you. I think he should start the last four games of the season. The Giants are not playing for any playoff contention, but, I mean, can they play with their division? I don't remember how many wins they got, two or three. I don't know which one it is. I think it was three. You got that right, but the NFC East is trash. So, I mean, you know, but they have the Eagles twice, and they have, like, two other teams to play. I don't remember who. I think the Redskins as well. Let Eli ride his way. Let him play four more games, yo. I want to see Eli out there just because it's Eli Manning, you know. And I'm enough of Danny Dimes. Let's see him next year. He's hurt, you know. Just save that quarterback. Y'all, meaning Giants brass, they love him, you know, and so on and so forth. Mini Eli, just let Eli get his farewell tour at the end of the season. You know, Eli's record, win-loss record is 116-116. So this could either make or break him right here, these last four games. Whoa. Well, how he going to act? How he going to act is a question.
You telling me a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, you know, has up there in passing yards as far as, you know, career. It's 116 and 116. So he's like 500.
He's 500.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is he's crazy. 500. So we'll see what happens. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm like I said, I'm happy for him. I'm definitely going to tune in Monday night after the final and watch this game. I want to see him just flourish, you know. Saquon going to eat. You know what I'm saying? They're going to run that damn ball down his damn throat or down them damn throat or as much as they can, right? But I'm here for it. Long story short, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Go Eli.
Yeah, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think Eli's going to play well in this game, first of all. I think he's going to get over 300 yards, a couple touchdowns. And I think the Giants are going to win this game just because they starting him.
Ooh. They're playing at Philly, by the way.
They don't mean nothing to Eli.
Okay, just wanted to mention that. Just wanted to mention that they are playing at Philadelphia.
That's all right with Eli. He out there.
Am I going to take a gamble? No, I'm just going to watch the game. How about that? I got my own problems in Green Bay. They're not problems, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Don't you got some beef with, like, Philly fans?
Yeah, because we lost. We lost to Philly, you know, beginning of the season on some BS. Stupid missed interceptions. It was a close game. And then to find out that Philadelphia then lost to Miami Dolphins is like, who are we? Or who are they? I don't know. But, yeah. I do have beef with Philly fans, period. Period.
Oh, man. Hey, Philly, you all right with me, okay? I guess.
All right. Yeah,
Philly's a little tough, though. I don't blame you at all. But anyway, well, the fans, not the city, the fans. Well, I heard some bad things about their fans. Cussing out Ben Simmons. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, moving on. Bye, Philly. Bye, Philly.
All right, let's switch over to the NBA. Let's look at the NBA as a whole. Even though we've seen some unprecedented moves in free agency, and we got new stars coming up and everything, the NBA ratings, the games this year are down, and it looks like they are continuing to go down. Yeah. Why? We can't exactly pinpoint what's why, but let's try to make an educated guess here. So why the ratings are going down. In my estimation, ratings are going down because the rash of injuries, for one. Like, all these superstar players are getting injured in the early goings of the NBA. And that hurts fans' eyes. Like, now a Warriors game is unwatchable because Klay Thompson is out. Steph Curry is out. D'Angelo Russell was out. And then you got the Warriors on TV. Nobody wants to watch the game without those stars on that team. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Nope. Even though, you know, shouts to Eric Pascal, Jordan Poole, Alex Burke, and all them. Nobody, the casual fan, the fans in and out, they don't know them people. They don't know them players. They don't want to watch them. So I think the injuries got something to do with it. I think that players are the low management, that whole little controversy, that got something to do with it. Like, for instance, we see Kawhi Leonard sitting out a random two games in a row, come back and play three, then set out another one. And then you got other players who are participating in this whole low management thing. I think that has hurt the whole mythos of low management. And then also the regular season itself, you know, the regular season in total is 82 games. And, you know, the conversations I have from people, and then, you know, just watching on TV with analysts, they talk or whatever, they preach that games in November, December, and even somewhere in January don't matter as much as the ones after All-Star break, March and April. And, you know, it's 82 games. It's a long season. So you can miss, like, the first 20 games of the NBA season, then, but you'll be all right. You'll pretty much know everything that's going on, who's hot, who's not, and everything. So I think those things – and then, you know, people cheating out streams, you know, try to stream the game for free and not pay subscriptions. But I think those things are killing the ratings in the NBA. What you think?
Those are all valid reasons. So piggyback first, because that's the last thing you said, was the streaming. Yes, everybody's streaming those games. So it can't really factor in where these, you know, how the game is being watched, or maybe that's where the lack of it is coming from, right? Injuries for sure. Particularly with the Warriors. Warriors are, you know, supposed to be a great team, or are continuing from their success in previous years. Now you put on a Warriors game, you don't know none of them boys. I know I don't, except for one, Eric Pascal, because he's from Westchester County, New York. 914, big ups to him, by the way. My area, not the city, right. Okay, the suburbs, but when you turn a Warriors game, you're like, oh, who are these boys? You got Draymond on world tour. He just recently got his Michigan State jersey retired at Michigan State. Shout outs to him. But like, you don't know what's going on over there. And then load management. Yes, load management is there. It's a long season. But I feel like, I mean, I'm not sure what the numbers or what the stats are, between for games that are played between, you know, November, December, and January. It's not to pick up at the end or after All-Star break, because that's when, you know, everybody's going hard, those teams that are in playoff contention. But I think that's also the same trend that's for Major League Baseball as well, considering there are so many games in that season, right? Almost pretty much doubled what the NBA has. So a lot of people not even really worried about that until the summer, fall, when the World Series matchups are beginning, or division series, and then the World Series matches are coming up. So I feel like it's the same thing. We will need to watch that. And then obviously, because there's so many games, you know, they don't need to watch as much compared to NFL. NFL, you got strong 16, 17 games, 3-4 weeks of divisionals, and then the Super Bowl. So it was definitely a strength of the schedule, the length of schedule that comes into play here. So I think that's what the reasons are for lack of ratings. And maybe nobody wants to see my Lakers, though. That's cool.
Yeah. But, you know, some of those games don't sell out, then, you know, they're not available, too. So, like, that could hurt things as well. So, it is a weird thing for the NBA. You know, they make a whole bunch of money, but, you know, not many people watch on TV. So, here's things that we missed the last 2 weeks. NBA are proposing changes in the regular season to make the regular season more exciting. So, they are talking about putting in like a mid-season tournament somewhere, you know, in the middle of the NBA season, to where like the winner of the tournament, they can get extra draft picks. They're talking about shortening the regular season from 82 games to 78. But if you play in a tournament, you can end up playing 83 in total. So that kind of cancels everything, the point of shortening the season. They're talking about reshuffling, reseeding the conference finalists. So, like, the last four teams that remain, they'll get reseeded. And then, you know, they'll play each other from there. Like, if you take, for example, last year, it was the Bucks, Raptors, Warriors, and the Trailblazers. So, you could have a scenario where, like, the Warriors will play the Bucks in the semifinals and you know, the other two teams will play. You know, stuff like that to get the regular season back to its high point, to its excitement. Do you see those rule changes, those possible rule changes, helping the NBA's regular season?
I think that Adam Silver is a smart guy. Adam Silver and company, they're a very smart set of people. I think they should keep working for solutions. I don't want no in-season tournament in the middle of my NBA season, play the regular games as scheduled. And if you're going to change it from 82 to 84, I mean, from 82 to 78, it's the same thing. Keep it at 82. Where are we shredding these four games? I guess the only real incentive to this in-season tournament is, I doubt it'll be money, but maybe it could be money, I guess. But I just don't like the idea of an NCAA tournament. I don't see the point really of an in-season tournament. Maybe if, you know, Woj wants to, bring up more scenarios, possibilities about how, why this may work, maybe we can continue. But I think the dialogue with this still needs to continue. We're not ready for that. And I think they were trying to possibly implement this for 2021-2022 season.
Yeah.
Y'all wildin'. It's a new decade and everything, but chill. Y'all, like, y'all wildin'. Y'all wildin'. Mm-mm. That's my opinion. I'm not for it.
So y'all
right now, I'm not for it.
You know, y'all like none of the proposed changes,
proposed
right?
Changes.
None of them.
No.
And then also, I forgot to mention this. They was talking about having a play-in game for the playoffs too, to where like if you're a 9 or a 10 seed in the conference, you can play your way into the NBA playoffs. Me, I don't like them either for right now. I don't like them either. Because it makes it sound like first of all, it comes off as like kind of cheesy to me, and you are, the NBA is sounding like March Madness, like they basically taking a March Madness type of deal and putting it into the NBA. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't
want to
see that either.
I don't want to see that. Now, my solutions is, first of all, I think they should try to shorten the regular season to as many games as possible. They should try to do that. I think that they should continue doing them intra-conference games where you do the home and home, East and West play each other, then you play everybody inside your conference three times, something like that. Just I did the math on that. I think I've got it down from 82 to 72. So, you know, 10 games, that's a significant amount of games to miss, and you know it could work out. But you know, on the other side, the other argument about that is that's a lot of money that's gonna get taken away. So I don't know how the NBA gonna do that. But I'm low key intrigued by reseeding the conference finalists. Like it'll make for interesting matchups, interesting storylines, but at the end of the day, I don't think I want to see that. I mean, it's going to dilute the whole Eastern Western Conference to the point where, you know, we're not even going to have an Eastern Western Conference. It's just going to be
teams.
Like, a long time ago, I was reading about them taking away the East and West and just going with the best, whoever the best 16 teams are. So you can end up, it could be a scenario where you can end up with like 10 Western Conference teams and only 6 from the East. So like,
I
don't know about
that's
the
not
routine.
Fair, I guess. Yeah.
I think the NBA, what they should do is try to combat load management, make it to where players are not just sitting out, that it gotta be a specific reason. But you know, that's hard for itself because now you're talking about kind of forcing the players to play the game. And if they might, you know, get some backlash from the Players Association about this. So I really don't know.
Hold on a second, Stacey. What's the problem with having a player play every game? Unless they're out for a legit injury. I'm sorry, they're playing, they're basketball players, right? That's what their profession is.
Yeah, right. But, you know, some players, they want that break. Some players, you know, they probably like nicked up. They don't want to risk anything. Then you got other players who go through like mental health issues. So you forcing somebody out there. I'm just speaking from their side. You forcing somebody out there that, you know, they don't want to play. Then they see, you know, they have a bad game and here come the bad press. Here come the negative headlines. So, like, I think from that standpoint, you know, you can have a problem with kind of forcing players to play the game.
What do you mean by forcing?
I mean,
if they have an injury, they cannot play, right? It has to be disclosed, including an injury report, so on and so forth. If they have a panic attack, because we're talking about to bring mental health into it, and they need to be removed, they may need to go into the locker room and question or return it, or don't return. All right, that's fine. And then, you know, the following steps of support and help come after that. It's still their job, Stacey. It's still their job to be a basketball player and to be a president for all times. Because you don't feel like going to work today? I don't even feel like going to work either, but I still got to go to work. You know what I'm saying? And granted, I'm bringing it down to you know, layman's terms, you know, with regular people. But think it's the same. It should be the same principle, no? Like, I don't understand. I don't get where you say you know, we're not forcing them, or if a player don't want to play, your mental health, or I'm sorry, not mental health, you're mentally not there. If you're mentally not there, I'm sure you have rituals, routines, things that you do to get yourself in that situation, you know, or get you back to play, or you play through it. Okay, I don't think that load management should be such of a big thing. I feel like they definitely should work on fixing those blood restrictions, and they need to collaborate with the NBA Players Association. But this is their job, Stacey, to play the game of basketball and to go through the days of being an NBA player. You can't just take a day off because y'all playing the worst team. You know what I'm saying? If you don't limit the minutes, now that's one thing. That's a loophole. Limit the minutes. You know, instead of playing a 35 minutes that you regularly play, that they regularly play, all right, reduce it to 15, reduce it to 20, whatever the case may be, or have a different game plan. But you cannot have these players not play their game of basketball when they are professional basketball players.
Yeah, no, that remind me, I was watching the Mavericks and Pelicans game, and it was like the fourth quarter, and Luka Doncic was sitting, Porzingis was sitting, and I forgot who was the commentator in that game. He was saying, like, this is what load management is supposed to be. You're supposed to get up by big league in the game to where you can sit down for a whole quarter. And, you know, I kind of like that statement. Like, if you don't want to play a whole game, you know, go out there, kill the team, and by the time y'all get to the fourth quarter, when y'all up like 90 to like 70, you can sit down for all the remainder of the game and you'll be fine. So, you know, I was just trying to speak from the player's perspective, you know, get everybody's perspective in. But truthfully, I don't know what's the best solution for the NBA to up the ratings. Other than, I think when we get to after All-Star break, it's going to go up. It's going to skyrocket.
Oh, no, for sure. But, I mean, I get that you're trying to definitely talk about from a player's perspective, but it's a lot of different factors that go into this equation. And like you just mentioned, the proper load management, if anything, is to play the game, get up by 40 points, let's be realistic, right? 20 points in the fourth quarter, and then sit your players. My Lakers did it last night. Okay, shout out to LeBron and AD and the rest of the team. Okay, so that's, I think that even without the success of my Lakers, though, like, honestly speaking, that's what should happen. You can't, these players have a job, and their job is to play basketball. These fans play for their product, okay? You mean to tell me it's January 12th and not too close. It's December 4th, okay? And I would have taken it, and because Giannis played back-to-back games, you know, we're going to now send him today, and I paid my ticket for this game tonight. Nah, that's not how it works. If anything, like I mentioned, my solution would be to that. If anything, let him play 15, 20 minutes. They get up by the lead, or he participated, he played, you know what I'm saying? And then he sits for whatever reason, and you ice him up and do whatever you got to do on the bench. That's the right way to do it, in my opinion. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree with that, but, you know, we don't see what happens.
You will.
We definitely will. All right, there are two players in the NBA that are taking the headlines by storm. Two players. I'm going to talk about both of them. The first one, Melo. Melo is officially back. While we was on our hiatus, Melo signed with the Portland Trail Blazers. He has played 8 games so far, and his stats are 8 games. He's averaging near 17 points per game, near 6 rebounds a game, about 45% shooting, around 40% from three. His first game was rocky, but then he started picking up. He's being more consistent. He's pumping new excitement in with the Blazers. And two things came out of that for Melo. One, he was voted Player of the Week. He was voted Player of the Week Monday for last week's performance. And then because of that, his contract is now fully guaranteed. So good things are happening for Melo. The first thing is, did he really deserve Player of the Week? Did he really deserve that? Like, I know that Melo, you know, he balling right now, but come on now. Like, Luka and Harden last week, like, they was tearing it up. And then they just, you know, hopping on the Melo train right now because he hot right now in the media. So they just gave him that. So did he really deserve player of the week?
I think that, yes. I think they're going to give it to him because of how he's doing. Because of him being into the league, you know, being sitting on hiatus for the last year. And why not? I mean, you act like it's going to be the first time or the last time that Luka or Harden are going to have great weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, if you deserve it. Like, they just handed him player of the week.
Honey, it's a player of the week, not player of the month or the year. It's not MVP. It's just a week. It's going to be more weeks.
Please, come on now. Let's give it to the man, you know, for balling. Let's not give it to him because he's high in the news right now. Like, let's give it to him for basketball reasons here.
Remember that thought. Let's give it to him for basketball reasons, not a popularity contest and whatnot, right? Let's remember those things. Keep that same energy, all right? Let's just keep that same energy. But like I said, I mean, it's Carmelo, you know, he just entered the league. He is what's popping right now. Well, not what's popping, but he is what is, what's the word I'm looking for? He did well. Like, he was sitting on the bench, not even on the bench. He was sitting in his bed. It's my gym. Like, he was showing for last year. So he made some noise. Let's give the man a recognition for the week, okay? And let's move on. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But right, so since Melo, no, before they signed Melo, I believe they were like 5-11. Since Melo, they went from 5 wins to 9. Now I believe they're like 4-3, 4-2 since they signed Melo. The impact Melo being on team, can he help the Blazers get to the playoffs? And if they get to the playoffs, how far would they actually go?
Well, first of all, shout out to my dad for making his cameo in our
what's up, Dad?
Number two, he can help. I feel like they signed him for a reason to play that role, to be another, in hopes to be another source of offensive income, if you will. How much of an impact he can be, I don't know. But I tell you one thing: the Portland Trail Blazers can take everything that they're given right now. Beggars can't be choosers, so any help that they are given, they might as well take it.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, yeah. Straight like that.
Yeah, and I always thought the Blazers were a good option for Melo because they definitely need some scoring talent on the wings. Like, they have a dynamic backcourt, CJ and Dane. And, you know, they got serviceable big man. Their situation would be a lot better if Nurkic was there, if he was healthy. But they still got Myles Leonard, who looks to come up at some point. And then, you know, you got Hassan Whiteside. I mean, like, it's Hassan Whiteside, but he'll give you something.
Right.
But you know, Melo is a great piece for him. When Nurkic and, you know, Dame and CJ, they stay on the court consistently, I thought Melo could be a great six-man for him. So where he's not pressured to play defense. Even though he's actually commanding the defense right now. Like, he's not playing defense well personally, but, like, he's getting everybody involved and he's rebounding the ball. Like I said, he's averaging near 6 rebounds a game. So he's out there doing something. He's out there trying to hustle. But,
his keep out there.
Yeah, yeah. Because his contract was not guaranteed, so he had to show that up real quick. But far as the Blazers, as the big picture, I don't know if this puts them over the top and get them out of the West. Remember last year, they stopped at the Western Conference Finals, and they were swept by the Golden State Warriors. This year, you know, the Warriors drop out. The Lakers are balling. The Clippers going to do better. The Nuggets going to do better. Rockets to get themselves together. It's a lot. Then you still got the Jazz who are defensive minded. If they get themselves together offensively, they'll be fine. But I don't know if they can get out the West with Melo playing the way that he's playing. I don't know about that.
Camera. I'll be right with you. Right.
So.
Exactly. So, great. I think you brought up valid points. It's a dogfight in the West. So we'll see how the Trailblazers pan out throughout the season. Won't be the last time we'll mention them, right?
Yeah. Hopefully, for their sake, it won't be.
Right.
For one more thing before Dad kills both of us. Right. You've been pacing back and forth, huh? But anyway, one more play. Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic. I was bringing up that game where I was telling you about going against the Pelicans. I was watching him like, dude, I don't know how he do it, but he does it. Like he's not fast at all. He just like slick. And it's like natural. It flows well. I seen him hit like two deep threes. I was like, wow. And then his MVP stock had got raised after they got their revenge on the Lakers. Yeah. You know, they beat the Lakers because Lakers beat them before. So he got his revenge, and Luka's averaging near a triple double.
Mm-hmm.
But is he the lead candidate for MVP right now?
You tell me. I say that because I had posed a question earlier today, like, why is LeBron in the MVP conversation? And somebody had came in my head. And luckily, they don't live in New York, because I was asking the question because I'm going to mention Anthony Davis as well, right? But I think that he should be leading. I mean, look at his current body of work for this year through what, 21 games? No, 23 games approximately. I mean, he's doing very well. He's doing very well. Like, you see him averaging a triple double, and you know what that led Russell Westbrook to when he completed that feat a year or two ago or whenever it was. So I mean, it's not going to be easy because you have other players in the league that are also putting up great numbers and being valuable players for their respective teams. But what he's doing is amazing, and he's doing it in little time too.
That's
my opinion. But what you thinking? Why you think that he's gonna win? You back in his candidacy or what?
Is he the lead candidate right now? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. In order for him to get that MVP, make it concrete, the Mavericks have to get into the playoffs.
That's correct.
Same thing like you were just bringing up with Russell Westbrook. Remember, that was the season, I think that was the season after KD left, if I'm not mistaken, a couple other pieces left. And he led the Thunder from the basement. A lot of people thought they was going to fall all the way off then, and they were the sixth seed in the playoffs. So if Luka does something like that, where the Mavericks just get in the playoffs, 6, 7, 8, whatever, if they just get in, and he still got his numbers, he'll get the MVP award. Because like I've said before, the NBA, they like to search for like new stars and, you know, give them the MVP. You know, now it's getting a little younger. And, you know, LeBron does deserve some looks for MVP as well, and Anthony Davis. But right now, I think Luka got it right now. It's his time. Like, I looked at his stats compared from his rookie season. Like, they are much more better than his rookie season. Like, it's just crazy that he's elevated his game that much. And he's doing this basically, like, kind of by himself with the Mavericks. Because Porzingis not playing that well like we thought he would play. And then you can't name me, like, at least three other players from the Dallas Mavericks. You probably give me one or two, but, you know, you're going to be kind of hard to name who's there. So he's doing it basically, like, on his own. So I think he's in the lead right now.
Agreed. No, I mean, like I said, he makes a very great point, very great campaign for MVP thus far. And we just have to see how it pans out and how the Mavericks do as a whole in competing in the West.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. Keep on chasing that MVP. And, you know, as far as us is concerned, we're going to be chasing that MVP as well. But for right now, our time is up. It was the end of episode 11, a.k.a. our comeback episode. Sorry we was gone for a couple of weeks, had a lot of things happen. But, you know, it's okay. We find ourselves back here. And, you know, we got to end the year off right. We got to end the year off right. End the decade off right.
Oh, yeah. Well. The decade, too.
Yeah.
Decade, huh?
And yeah, right. And it all starts with episode 11. So, thank y'all for watching or listening. Until next time, I am Stacey Carter II.
Y'all know who I am. Y'all know who I am. Now, Natasha, the co-host.
All right, we'll see y'all next week.